Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, let's do it. We got Shaughnessy coming in at 11 today. 2 hours with him. What's that?
I'm just hissing at Shaughnessy.
Oh, okay.
Like boo hiss.
All right, you want to do some opening takes with it being a Friday?
You know what I mean? It's like there's not really
one dominant story.
Usually when you come in on a day, okay, that's the one thing that's hot. Here's the secondary. Here's the third.
Yeah.
Sort of like agenda free fry. I don't want to steal the 2-6 thing, but.
I don't think they do.
We do like the opening thought thing. Yeah.
Well, they do that too. That's their thing too.
He's got that weird look on his face. I don't know if he's calmed down from yesterday.
Who, Hardy?
Yeah. How's your morning, Toots?
Everyone's in school.
Really good.
Had to have been a good one. Had to have been a good one.
They're like,
fine.
So that means you
look you have.
You can also
no traffic today. Do you have traffic today?
Yes.
I got in at 9:46 I arrived.
I had no traffic.
I just walked through the door.
Well, I mean, I don't really have traffic like you two have traffic, but there seemed like there's nothing today.
I was stunned.
What do you mean, traffic, right?
Stunned by it, how much traffic there was.
Because the loser city of Boston had canceled school and made everybody stay home. And everybody's like, got to get to work and get the work in today. You know, because you screwed up the other day. Sorry to bring that up again.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. Everything's good. Why? What's the problem, Peter?
It's all fans coming in for tonight's game.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, a lot of college fans.
A lot of them are going to be heading downtown for my appearance. Where am I tonight, Jim? 5 o'clock?
Hurricane O'Reilly's.
No, you don't even know.
He's got such a full schedule.
You don't know.
Sorry, Hurricanes. Hurricanes, schedule. Right? It's just Hurricanes now.
Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, they don't call it the O'Reilly's anymore.
A lot of people coming into town for my appearance at Hurricanes.
Hurricane McSheevy's?
Hurricane O'Reilly's.
Auto Parts.
Is that the Auto Parts.
I might stop and see you tonight, Hardy.
Yeah, you are.
That's nice.
Heck, yes, might make an appearance, too.
Jim gave me a hot tip about access to the games that I'm working on. Anyway, you want to get to something that happened yesterday on Felger Maz at 3 p.m., as we mentioned Felger Maz?
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Did you watch this spot that the Bruins are going to air with Felger in it?
They teased it like a mother, so I was flooring it to get home to make sure I was in front of
Well,
I
didn't even know what it was.
TV,
I just heard Felger say it about 2:45. If you like hockey and you hate me, make sure you're listening at 3 o'clock. I'm like, what the hell could that be?
I thought he also said if you like hockey and also like me, you may want to watch it.
Well, here's what it is. It's an ad that's going to run on television, TV spot with highlights of the year for the Bruins and some mean mugging Bruins player faces, and Felger is really the narrator, and here it is.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around and don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
The too young reminds me of the end of a mean
Muppet.
Something that would be put together for the final word that Hardy would do. Right?
He's probably
that echo
do.
Effect. No, too young.
It's the
too young.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the end of Mad Mike.
Yeah. End of Mad Mike.
It's the end of Mad Mike. That audio does not do that spot justice.
The video is fantastic.
It doesn't.
It is one of the best produced, like, localized things I think I've ever seen.
It's an actual team production.
You tell me something that you've seen that you think is better, that was done locally for a team or for a local entity.
I don't know. I think all the local teams do good stuff. I think we're in a good media market, so you get really well-produced stuff. I'm not saying this isn't. I'm just like, wow, we're going to crown it the best commercial ever made?
No, I said it's one of the best things I've ever seen produced locally for a local entity. And I don't know that it was produced locally, if someone came in from like out of town and did it. But let me tell you,
it's funded locally for a local targeted audience.
Right. Okay. It's not like heavy-handed. It's not obvious. They didn't have like, you know, it's about the young guys, right? It's very specific what it's about.
Yep.
They don't go out of the way like explaining what all this is. It's like you either know, you listen. I like that it leaves something open to interpretation. Like, who is that? What's going on? You know, they don't spell everything out for you. It's good. Beetle, dare I say, artistic.
Artistic, please.
There's some art to it.
So it says at the end, the thing that flashes on the screen that does not have audio to it is listen to no one. Listen to no one. Is that a message to the fans? Is that the identity the team wants to take? Is that like do your job, or is this some sort of like message to fans? That's what I want to know. Is it a slogan or is it a message? What is it?
Okay. I think they copied off Tom versus Time.
Oh, absolutely. It's not an original thought they did here.
This Facebook watch thing
Chopper did
is sort of alerted everybody. And Brady, all the Brady stuff is running clips from our shows, right?
Remember,
can't do this.
Remember
do
2014?
That.
Remember when they made that
he's
Super Bowl?
Like crap.
The Super Bowl, you know, tribute videos at the end where they were all going back to the Bengals week.
Yeah.
We're on to Cincinnati. And all the stuff that happened there.
It's a great thing. And I thought Felger's fantastic. Felger's embraced this. As he should. I mean, this is why Felger's Felger and why he's good at what he does. But he's the guy that takes the fork and sticks it in. You know,
I think he was mildly annoyed with it seemed yesterday. And I don't blame him.
But that's good. No, he wasn't annoyed. He may have been like
mildly
a little trepidatious about having it out there. But I told him, I said, I think you come off great in this. It's obvious that you had to allow this to happen.
Oh, my God. Nobody's going to listen to him now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I just get chirped on that.
Oh, I saw somebody else, too. Or know who to listen to.
Yeah, Dale.
Shut up.
Dale tweeted.
Yeah, Dale Arnold.
That was Dale Arnold.
I can say his name. Dale Arnold. W-E-E-I.
Don't listen to Felger. Listen to me.
No, that's not what this is about. It's not about not listening to the radio. It's not about just, you know, glomming on to whoever's going to never say anything bad about anybody. It's about an attitude of a team that is defying expectations and what you can expect from them. Don't listen to anybody who says you can't do it. That's what it means.
Is that what it is?
It doesn't mean.
I hope that's what it
is. Listen to one sports broadcaster over another. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Dell's got
to
take a shot.
Way to try and make it about you. It's got nothing to do with you. Please.
It's ignore the noise in a different phrase.
Yes!
That's
it!
Yeah, dummy!
It's got nothing to
do with. But here's what I don't get. Like, the Patriots tell their players to ignore the noise. They don't do a TV spot saying ignore the noise. That's why I didn't.
Oh, just Tom Brady does.
That's why I think it's a little odd. But you know, Tom Brady's not telling anyone to ignore the noise.
The funny thing is, you know, you'll sit here regardless of the sport.
I think it's an odd message.
Right?
And my advice to the Bruins would be, take your own advice and not listen to anybody.
Wait, that would be my best advice to you. Don't listen to anybody. Okay, before you go too far off the deep end with this, Beetle, this isn't the Bruins sitting around brainstorming, coming up with an idea for a TV commercial and saying, this is going to be our message. You know how this works. The creative people, some ad agency, comes up with an idea and says, what do you think of this? And a few people at the top of the Bruins organization say, you know what?
Yeah, and the Bruins approve it.
We like it. Roll with it. Don't act like this is like some deep think tank, and they're just crushing Chinese takeout over there at the TD Garden up on level 9 around a conference table. What are we going to do for our spring playoff ticket?
I don't know that they ever.
No national agency's coming up with this idea. Yeah. Nobody.
This is the Bruins.
Oh, let me.
They listen.
The national agency listens to Felger.
How many times have they called, told us, don't take what Claude says out of context?
Okay.
Unless that agency's based in Boston.
Who do
if
you
that agency is based in Boston, I can buy it. But
okay, who do you think came up with the whole concept for this? Do you think it was Cam and the PR people, or do you think it was a creative group and then the team approved it?
Maybe the creative group went to the people and said, give me some things from the season that we can work off of. What's going? And then maybe the team gave him that. Maybe the team gave the ad agency that.
David Price is infected by listening.
Let's be happy that Claude's not
here. The Patriots all listen. Tom Brady listens. They all listen.
Yes.
Look at David Price. He pees himself.
Don't try and make it like, you know, they're sitting around for like days on end trying to come up with what's our message. It's a commercial to sell play.
It's the same advice.
It's a commercial to sell play.
Fans love it.
It's a commercial to sell playoff tickets.
Why are you yelling?
Because you guys keep talking over me when I'm trying to get one sentence out. It's a commercial to sell playoff tickets, and it's a really good commercial.
Horse bleep accusation.
Don't look too much into it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think? Well, what's the message the team is trying to send?
They want to sell playoff tickets. That's the message. And it's a really good commercial. I think it's great.
I don't know. The Bruins have never called me because I yelled at Claude. That's all I know.
I think Bruins fans, Bruins should want people to listen to Felger and Mattis because Felger talks Bruins more than anybody in this city. You want hockey talk? Go to Felger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They should want people to listen to
Felger. That's why I thought it was a little odd. I just thought it was a little off. Like, a little weird.
Like, that's his wheelhouse. It's not our wheelhouse.
All right, don't listen then.
We chatted. But...
Fine, I'll go back to talking about the Patriots. Thank you. I'll talk Patriots offseason until I'm blue in the face.
I think fans
Is that what I need to do?
No. Don't the fans
think that, you know what? I want to talk Patriots right now. I always want to talk football. Fine, I'll go back to talking football. And you guys can listen to the hockey show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And you can listen to Arch because that would be, in the Bruins' mind, like the perfect hockey talk every day. It's what the hockey show is. And that's great for Saturday mornings.
Oh, God, that's
It's not great for Tuesday at 10 a.m. It just isn't.
I think it's a bad message. Tells kids not to listen to their parents. Listen to no one.
You're taking it literally.
I don't know if they know, but like the team sucked at the start of the year.
They were bad.
And then they got really hurt. And it was a really bad start to the year.
It's a Setuka. People forget how bad they were. They were bad.
And we thought we might have to write them off because they just weren't going to get healthy. Not because they were, you know, bad players or bad front office. The team wasn't good. That was said when the team was not good.
Remember how much
now they're good. When you're good, we say you're good. When you suck, we say you suck.
Remember the days Billy
Jaffe?
If
that's not what you're into, then don't listen, Bruins. Don't listen.
How many weeks did Billy come in with his head down? Like, do we have to do this again? You know, like, you were a week away from not having a hockey season at about midpoint of that year.
But I'm glad I'm glad the Bruins feel the need that they need a commercial to sell tickets because that's ridiculous, Artie. Like, the Bruins haven't sold all their tickets already? Look at Ticketmaster. See what the markup is right now for playoff tickets. They don't have any problem selling tickets.
Not just for selling playoff tickets, but for watching the playoffs. And look, you got a budget. Let's use it. Let's put together a good spot. Let's cement ourselves as...
I want the Dancing Bear back
as the number two or number three team right now.
Hey,
let me tell you something. At this time of year, Beetle, I think it makes a lot of sense from a marketing perspective to kind of further cement yourself as being the second or third team right now because with baseball getting ready to start, we know how people react to opening day around here. It's huge. It's a holiday. So this is smart. Get out in front of it. Get people thinking and talking about the Bruins before the Red Sox start playing again.
Here we go. Loading them up. Loading them up, baby. Good job, Chatty Cathy.
What?
You're all perky today. I like that. You got a little edge to him today.
617-779-0985.
Today's your day.
We've got Patriots thoughts to get to. Zoe's got a Patriots opening thought. We need to get to that. It's important.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What do you got on the football scene? So what's your opening thought today?
This whole thought that, you know, you could have gotten more for Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I mean, we know Jimmy's pretty good. I think Jimmy's going to be damn good in this league. I don't know what value. I mean, I think you still need more games to see it. I don't know if he's worth being the highest paid player at the position. And I don't think anybody really is. It drives me crazy when these guys sign these deals. But... you know, Brady outlasted Jimmy, and the grand plan, right, was to have that transition of Brady to Garoppolo. And now this comes out of San Francisco where John Lynch is openly talking about, you know, the situation out there and how we got Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle's so smart, but ultimately the grand plan, the grand scheme of everything was for Kyle Shanahan to lure Kirk Cousins out there. And I totally agree with it. Like, if you had your druthers, who would you take? Full well knowing I'm going to be a head coach in this league. It's my offense. It's my scheme. It's plug and play, and it's play at a damn high level. I would take Cousins over Garoppolo if I was taking that head job like he was. But in a weird way, Jimmy had to play, and all of a sudden, he had to understand that, wow, this guy's pretty good, and we really don't know or have the patience to wait for free agency. I just wonder what they would have paid Cousins if Cousins hit free agency and they didn't have Jimmy signed up. And somehow Jimmy was kept here or Bill traded him somewhere else. Well, Cousins have ended up in San Francisco. I think it would have been a 100% guarantee. I think they both wanted that. I think Cousins wanted to go there, and I think Shanahan wanted him. But it's interesting that, you know, he talked about, you know, this is why Kyle is smart, is we wanted to make sure Jimmy was smart before we put him in. He knew the scheme. We didn't want to put him in, throw him into the wolves, and let him kill himself, and he didn't really know what he was doing. And he curtailed the offense to Jimmy, you know, when he was in there playing these games. So, I mean, did the Patriots get enough for it as we get ready for the draft here and they have a bunch of picks at the top of the draft? Yeah, maybe he could have gotten more, but I don't know. I mean, it's weird because Brady beat out Jimmy, you know, in the long run, and Brady outlived that plan, but now all of a sudden Jimmy kind of won this one where, you know, he outlived the plan of them to go get Cousins or force their hand in a different direction to make him the highest paid guy. Then you sit there and you absorb more stuff from Jordan Palmer yesterday as he's getting ready to be the quarterback guru and run the workout for Josh Allen. And he's telling you that Josh Allen's the greatest thing I've ever seen. You'll never see anything like this again. After he just sat there and told you how damn good Sam Darnold was, and then he did Josh Rosen. It's like, which one is it? Like, they're trying to sell all these guys, and there's all these supposed franchise guys there. I really don't think they had a choice. They had to sign Garoppolo to what they signed Garoppolo for. Jimmy outplayed it. And Jimmy took advantage of every game he was out there. Ran the table. I just wonder what kind of year he's going to have coming up. Might not be as smooth sailing as some people think it's going to be. I wouldn't be shocked if it's like a 28-29 touchdown, 13-14 pick type year. The kind of years Brady had early in his career, but still won Super Bowls with. He'd still be successful doing it. I just don't know how efficient. You know, teams are going to get better. That Jesus, you see what the Rams did out there. And if they get Sue, my God. I mean, that's going to be a tough team to play twice a year, as will Seattle. And who knows how good Arizona's going to be. So, I mean, it all affects the Patriots because as good as Garoppolo is or how many picks you have with the draft, you think, could we got more collateral? Could we have got more collateral?
Yeah, from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Should have called them.
It's amazing that now you could do all these other backdoor deals, the Jamie Collins deals, Shelton deals, all this stuff.
So the way it was reported that the Patriots had just sort of picked up the phone, called the 49ers and said, okay, we have this guy, you want him. Out of the blue?
Yeah.
You should have full confidence in that report because look at the 49ers and how much of a leaky faucet that organization is.
Just tell you everything, huh?
Man, is everything transparent there or what? John Lynch, the reason why you know that, and this is what you referred to, the reason why you know that John Lynch knew that his head coach didn't love the idea of Garoppolo is because he went on the radio yesterday and said it.
Had to convince him.
He said, we made the trade, but then there were some days when Kyle Shanahan was like in mourning. Because I think everybody knows his master plan was to have Kirk Cousins come in eventually. He just went on the radio after making a trade in season for Jimmy Garoppolo and then signing him to the richest contract in the NFL. And then just went on the radio and said, yeah, he wasn't our head coach's plan A. Yeah.
He
what are you doing?
He confirmed the longtime thought. I mean, everybody thought that or kind of expected that. The Cousins' ideal landing spot when he hits free agency is going to be San Francisco.
Yeah, but who would ever go on the record and confirm it or say something like that? What's the point of that?
Loose lips, Lynch.
What are you doing? And so that should just tell you that the way it was described from the San Francisco side of things is real and authentic because they talk to everybody.
Yep.
And John Lynch is a guy that's obviously pretty good with the media and likes talking to the media and does so. And so the portrayal of that is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
The way it's been reported on.
You know, and after our show.
What a crazy organization that is.
You know, we did a pretty good job, and I think, you know, you led that charge yesterday of, you know, Belichick's so into this, right? And he's into the draft process. He's out front. And the way, are we trying to win back the locker room? Is this going to be a good feeling here? And you see the stuff of him and Caserio and actually Matt Patricia running the drills, the defensive end drills out of Ohio State. And there they are. It's like Patricia's never left the staff.
So that's my first item that I would say about this whole entire situation is, wow, 49ers, loose lips Lynch, as we'll start calling him so. He really
loose
likes to put
Lynch.
It all out there. That's the first part. The other part is this, that I realized yesterday. how much it sucks to no longer have Jimmy Garoppolo if you're the Patriots. Because yesterday the Patriots were in on a workout with Johnny Manziel.
No, thank you.
And they're getting attention because they were the one team that pulled him in for an official weigh-in.
Yeah.
To see what his weight was at, 199, in case you were wondering.
He's back up to 199.
And that's just a sign of the times, and oh my God, am I not ready for that.
Yeah.
How out I am on a guy like Johnny Manziel.
Are you on the drugs or not?
Yuck.
Did you put the weight back on?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that workout. Johnny Manziel, are you kidding me? Bill, are you kidding me, Patriots? Stop. Just stop now. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Both the Bruins and Celtics in action tonight. We begin with the Bees, who are continuing their road trip as they take on the Dallas Stars. Dallas has lost their last six games. We're going to get the latest from Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. The call starting at 8 o'clock on the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics, meanwhile, are starting a four-game Western road trip against a Trailblazers team that has won 15 of their last 17 games. So, for that game, we'll go to 100.7 WZLX. Got a pregame at 9:30. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the tip. Excuse me, coming up at 10 o'clock tonight, 100.7 WZLX. Headlines are brought to you by, I don't know, Jim? I don't have them. I don't know what I did. How about
hey,
this?
Brought to you by our outstanding sponsors here at 985 The Sports Hub.
There are so many to choose from,
I mean,
but we can only choose one.
Which one would you pick, Hardy?
Live Nation. See Rob Zombie with Marilyn Manson August 8th at the Xfinity Center. Tickets on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. Thought they're on sale today. Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Award-winning headlines once again take place in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just stop. Just stop with this, Jim Love. Johnny is not going to become a thing here. Worked out for 13 NFL teams, including the Patriots. What a waste.
Football's so important to this guy. He just falls off the face of the earth. This is the guy that I'd want running your program if Brady went down.
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the Patriots to not scout the guy.
Yes, I'm telling you.
They're scouting everybody.
Don't you start playing it up. Gross.
This is worse than Tebow.
I didn't write a column that said maybe.
Absolutely gross. You're right. I should be more upset with Mike Reese, shouldn't I?
You know what we should do? Throw maybe out there in anything we say. So just we kind of middle it. Maybe. Well, I didn't say yes or no. I said maybe.
Here's what Reese wrote today.
Are you ripping Reese, though? You ripping Reese?
Yeah, I'm ripping Reese. Put him on. He won't call in. He's afraid.
that's not fair.
Can't reach a phone.
That's not fair. Don't say that because that's not true. If he could call us, he would.
He can't.
Johnny,
I love Mike.
He's restricted by his employer. Johnny Manziel to the Patriots.
That's so bad.
Not likely. Well, it's not. I mean, stop. We're not talking about that. Johnny Manziel to the Patriots. Not likely, but not crazy.
You're angry now.
Is what Mike Reese wrote. He says, while Coach Bill Belichick and Director of Player Personnel Nick Caserio were at Ohio State's Pro Day on Thursday, it wasn't the only place the Patriots were monitoring. Because they had area scout Jonathan Howard keeping a close eye on the proceedings at the University of San Diego. That's where Johnny Manziel was yesterday. He says, in many ways, it was standard operating procedure for Howard and the Patriots. Thank God, because if it wasn't, I'd start losing my mind. So, I guess there's a workout in the area. You have an area scout. It's his responsibility to go check it out. Let's hope it ends right there. He says, but the presence of quarterback Johnny Manziel created more buzz than the norm. He writes, it also sparks the question, would the Patriots, who have 40-year-old Tom Brady and 32-year-old Brian Hoyer, why do we have to mention Brian Hoyer being on the roster? That I don't get.
Oh, because he's on the roster.
I mean, for what purpose?
Because he's on it.
You need a backup. You need a guy. You need a body, a warm one, preferably. He says, ever consider Mansell? Would they ever consider him? He writes, why it won't happen? Why it won't happen? Because of the on and off field matters. Mm-hmm. He says this year's draft class at quarterback is deeper than the norm. So that's the most likely way the Patriots go. He says accuracy and decision making are two of the things the Patriots look for in a quarterback. I'm going to change what Mike wrote and say Manziel lacks both of those because he blows.
Yeah.
He says he also hasn't played in 2 years.
And then
he says why it could happen. He says they once signed Tim Tebow. Belichick often thinks outside the box. The Patriots have 10 former first-round picks on their roster, and they traditionally target players with unique traits and pedigree. Manziel checks that box. And he says if he's truly committed, the presence of a former first-round pick trying to work his way up from the bottom of the barrel could be a positive add to the locker room dynamic.
Sure could.
Oh, my God.
Boy, sure could.
It's bring him in to fix the locker room?
It's the one. It's the one position.
Gotta be kidding me.
This is not Albert Haynesworth. This is not Ocho Cinco. Whether it's a receiver, a down lineman, a linebacker, a safety, it is the one lone position. And you could see by the craziness that Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson have created, that people want the franchise guy. This is why Jimmy Garoppolo got paid the money. This is why Tom Brady could hold them hostage, because it is the lone important position where you can't take a risk in that other stuff. The ones where I'm not going to check in this day. I'm going to go off the reservation for a weekend to Vegas. You can't do that dance with the quarterback. It's the one position, especially with this franchise. See, Tim Tebow, football is important to him. He's going to throw. First day you see him, he's throwing paint cans. This guy, you watched him work out yesterday, and I told you, I've watched all the workouts of all these guys. He looked like a high school quarterback. Under center, it's like he's trying to wear the baggy shirt to look bigger. I don't know. It's just, it looks simple. It's just lobbing throws. Didn't have much zip on the ball.
He's a guy who's never taken his job seriously, ever. Period. End of story. That is not a Patriot. He's not very good on top of that. He's not cut out for the NFL. Not to mention everything that has gone on with the drugs, the booze, the domestic violence.
I'd be disappointed if they signed him.
Pass, pass. What are you doing?
Like, you kind of understood why they get Tebow. Like, football guy, right? Football player, football. Hey, he's tossing the ball and taking him to dinner. This guy, it's important to him. He's a hard worker,
Of time.
I wouldn't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. I'd be so disappointed if they brought him in.
Now, he supposedly changed his life around. You were impressed with some of his quotes that were coming out right a couple weeks ago or a month ago, Beal. Remember that? So are you afraid of a relapse? Is that what we're afraid of, a relapse, I guess?
No, I'm afraid of the fact that his work ethic is garbage. It's junk. So he got sober. That doesn't mean he's a good quarterback or he has a good work ethic when it comes to football. He's never had those things. Ever. Ever. Not in Texas A&M. Not in the NFL.
No, he's a rich kid.
Yeah. He's never done it.
He's never worked hard at football. He doesn't need it. You know what I mean?
He's never worked hard at it. That's it. No. No.
That's another thing like Josh Rosen, too. Be careful of that guy, because that guy's kind of rich, too.
I thought he said the right things. I thought he was saying the right things. Doesn't mean I like him. Doesn't mean I like him even a little bit.
Use car salesman. Say the right things.
Well, he seemed genuine. He came off as someone who was genuine, who was genuinely committed to being sober. That doesn't mean he's a good quarterback. Doesn't mean I want to root for that guy. Oh, I'd be repulsed by seeing that guy in a Patriots uniform. Yuck. Gross. Get lost. Don't even consider it. Johnny Manziel. Oh,
it would be a circus around here if they signed him.
Waste of time. Waste of time. At least you could say Tim Tebow. You didn't feel bad about seeing that guy put on a Patriots uniform. You may not have thought he could, but I didn't think he could play quarterback. But he wasn't. I don't think he was a bad guy on top of it.
So felt bad when he put a Patriots uniform on.
Seemed like a decent human being. Gross.
Adam's
in Lowell.
No.
Hey, guys, how we doing? I'm going to preface this by saying that I like Kirk Cousins a lot. I think he's a good quarterback. He's the type of guy you throw the keys to once you have a team in place.
Who would you take, though, if you had the choice? If both guys were available, would you take Garoppolo or Cousins?
Oh, Garoppolo. Hands down. No.
Wow, that was quick.
Definitely. Yeah, well, hey, did you not see the game where he shredded apart the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, just, you know, the best defense in the league last year, with nothing? He has nothing. It's a bare-bones operation. You don't hand a guy like Kirk Cousins a bare-bones operation and say, hey, be our savior. That's not how he works. He needs a defense. He needs his weapons. Jimmy Garoppolo had nothing, and he still shredded the Jaguars. Did you not see that game?
No, I didn't watch it. I was calling him. Got that one in.
Can't
here.
Have that.
Let's try. Can't say poop.
Can't do that.
Doo-doo.
I mean, right now, armed with what you've seen, I would take Jimmy Garoppolo. After you've seen him play those games in San Fran, what would you do?
It's debatable. But if it's
they're both good. I think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, so I'm not down on Kirk
Cousins.
Still
only got like seven games, but, I mean, based on if he only had the three, and at the time I'm saying, say they didn't play Garoppolo, and he had free agency, and Cousins was in free agency. San Francisco would have held off for Kirk Cousins, and they would have paid him more money than the Vikings did.
Okay, but you got to understand as well, to the caller, the conversation in San Francisco was before they had watched Jimmy Garoppolo play in San Francisco. Like, they were basing...
Right.
His thoughts have changed, and that's what...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm
Kyle
saying...
Kyle Shanahan's thoughts on this have changed.
Right. And he's made the right decision
since when they made the deal, and because now he's all in on Jimmy Garoppolo.
You get the guy in the program, you get around him, now you see, you know what, I can make this work.
But at the time,
could
you really say that in the subject line said if you wanted Cousins over Garoppolo, you're high? Not if you had said that before Garoppolo had ever played in San Francisco.
See, I think this is even more a Bill Belichick Lynch thing. With getting Shanahan on board, even though he has a good relationship with the Shanahans, meaning Bill.
Yeah.
Because you look at the way who's talking here and who's sulking. I think one of the reasons Kyle took that job was to go there to have a chance to bring his guy, Kirk Cousins, with him and grow it from there. Then, you know, it's turkey for him because that's a guy he wouldn't have to worry about. He still has to manipulate and teach Garoppolo the way here, you know. And it's going to take time. And Jimmy's going to have his ups and downs. They all do at this stage. You're just going to go out there and rip it, and you're going to go 15-1 next year. I mean, people are under this assumption he's you know, Pro Bowl guy next year, potential Super Bowl candidate. It's going to take time out there. They don't have much talent. They don't.
617-779-0985. Johnny Manziel worked out for 13 teams yesterday, including the Patriots.
Yuck.
That is part of the conversation. Dan Shaughnessy will join us coming up at 11 a.m. We'll be talking some Red Sox with him.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I think a lot of things have changed for Tom. I mean, and it's not just all football either. You know, there's the addition of family members and kids have gotten older. Now, I listened to a lot of things he had to say about, you know, just even Giselle had to say about, you know, he just wants to feel appreciated, you know, all these types of things. You know, maybe it's worn and after 18 years. Statements that he's made, not the Tom Brady I'm used to hearing you speak. You know, I just remember him from being a young guy saying I'm playing forever to saying I'm playing until I'm 45 or whatever. And, you know, I don't know when the end's coming. To now, he's kind of giving a window to when that's going to be. And he's taking input from his family on that. So that could be any day.
Troy Brown on NBC Sports Boston with Tommy Curran. This is not the Tom Brady I know. I'm not used to hearing him talk like that. Thought that was worth playing for you, considering who it comes from and who's talking about it.
Yep. Not a reporter.
Now, if you or I or you know, anyone says that, people would say, "Oh, you're just reacting to what the video is." I just think if you're Troy Brown, you're speaking
with
a certain level of knowledge that a lot of other people don't have.
He's used to being trained by what Tom says. You know, locker room and the huddle, all that stuff.
Yeah, and may still speak to him every now and again.
Yeah.
He may just know where things are at. I don't know. I just think that when you hear it coming from a former teammate and someone who was as good of a Patriot as Troy Brown was,
and
is still very much around the organization. Interesting. Interesting thoughts from Troy Brown.
I think a lot of former players would agree with him. You know, like Matt Light or something. I think, you know. Even, you know, Nikovich, be interesting to see what he has to say about it. You know, he's the one most recently retired that pretty good, pretty tight with Tom.
Mark is in Medford today. Hey, Mark.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
Hi, Beetle. I have to, you stole my thunder earlier, but I have to agree
with you. Still back.
Be
like that thunder before the lightning.
and disagree with Hardy, okay, because the Bruins never, or would they ever need a commercial to sell playoff tickets. This was one big, ginormous, suck it, Felger, okay? If you notice, the only public person on the radio to say the Bruins, write the Bruins off as soon as they lost to Vegas, and that was what, the fifth game of the season?
It was
the
early.
Fifth game of the season? Yeah, a little early, okay? And I guarantee you this right now, Beetle, that I bet you Felger is hoping the Bruins get swept in the first round so he can come back and say, blah, blah, see, I told you, blah, blah, have a good day, guys.
That's, I can guarantee you that's not true because the Bruins being good is good for everybody here. That's all I would say.
And you think the Bruins spent that money to have that commercial produced and spending money to air it as a you know, up yours to Felger?
No. I don't think they need to sell tickets. I mean, they've done it with Dennis Leary, like playoff. Didn't they do playoff commercials with Leary? They're back, the Bruins.
It's about the cup. Now get to work. I think those were before the playoff.
Okay.
No, of course they're going to sell out. But look, there's varying degrees of popularity. And you want there to be buzz. You want those tickets to be hard to get. Team wants to be able to sell big blocks of them to ticket brokers at a right price, right? Knowing that those ticket brokers are going to make their money off of them too. It's a multi-tiered thing. It's not just the ability to get people in the seats at the get-in price. It goes beyond that. And they need people to want to get in, and they need people to pay exorbitant sums to do it, and they need people watching on TV, especially with the Red Sox coming back. So I think it's smart. I think you promote yourself even when you're popular. Make sure you stay that way. It's good. I love that spot. I love it.
You like it a little too much. There's something weird about how much you like it.
There's so much you can do with it.
Like, it's good.
It's really good.
You really, really,
it's
like
really
it.
Good.
You really like it.
It'd be like, because they didn't take the obvious route with it. That's why. You know, if you're going to make a Patriots commercial, the three of us are going to sit down and come up with a Patriots commercial.
Did you have something
commercial.
To do with this commercial, Hardy?
No.
Were you in on the production?
If we were going to do a Patriots one.
Yeah. Work on it? Yeah, your consultant? Happened.
If you just take a couple of lame brains like us, we were like, I don't know, show Tom Brady throwing a pass and woo, Patriots are great. They went with the young guys. You know, they didn't focus in
on... put the 6'9" freak out there.
Right. Yeah. They didn't focus in
almost
on Bergeron, Chara, Marchand. That would have been easy. No. I'm going to tell a little story with this.
Put the chubby-faced fat kids out there.
If it was the Patriots, we'd think they're moving on from all the older players. We'd be reading way too far into it.
How much would be reading? That would be warranted, though, because I think the Patriots probably do analyze everything to death.
But Mark and Medford's call has me thinking now. I don't think they're going to lose in the first round, but if they did, wouldn't you go back and say, you probably should have waited until after you won to do the Suck It Felger commercial. You probably should have waited until after the fact. Like, the Patriots wait.
No,
until,
I disagree, because his was about the his whole statement in that rant was, we're not going to have a hockey season.
Yeah, and that was premature, and we said it at the time. We all said that. We disagreed with him on that at the time.
I actually like Felger's like follow up to this a few weeks ago. He came back and said, "Well, listen, I was obviously wrong in this rant. Look at the teams that have played in Vegas. Obviously, his whole point was coming off that Vegas game that Hardy went to when they looked terrible. And then he said, "Look at the teams that have played in Vegas and Vegas' home record. Teams are obviously treating this as a party weekend and they have a terrible record in Vegas. Every team's like the Vegas' home record versus road record apparently is ridiculous."
Yeah, there is something to that in Vegas with that team. That the teams are going there and they're spending their free time there doing, you know, Vegas type of things. And I can tell you that's not good. that's probably not conducive to winning in Vegas, despite the fact, Hardy, that the teams there are staying in a hotel that does not have a casino. They're staying in one of the properties that is near the arena with no casino and very limited party options there.
Do you know which one?
Yes, I do. I'm not going to say, because then you'll have, you know, the next time the Bruins go there, people will be hanging out there.
Huh. I'm trying to think which one that would be.
I don't want to be responsible for that, but you can figure it out on your own.
It's not what I think it is.
I'll tell you what it is. Later. But this is just my point. The teams there are aware of it, and they're trying to get teams to not go do the things that you would typically go do in Vegas. And it hasn't really worked. Because teams have gone there and totally sucked. But I didn't hear that what you're talking about, Jim. But I also know that Malcolm Subban was still in net in that game.
True.
I mean, that was still bad.
I was at that game. I was sitting.
I know that's what Jim just said.
Yeah, yeah. I was at that game watching it, and I couldn't believe how piss poor a display it was. Like the guy you know can barely play that position. We've seen him in a Bruins uniform out there against St. Louis a couple of years ago, letting in three goals on the first six shots he faced. So here you come. Now you get a chance to play against him. Oh boy, what do? Throw about 10 shots on him in the first period and a half. Like, chuck the puck at the net. Shoot from the blue line. I don't care. This guy can't stop. You know he can't stop anything. And they got run up and down the ice that night. It was brutal. So I understand the sentiment that Felger had. He's the only one that took it to that extent.
Yeah, only one that went there.
But yeah. Watching that game,
but he,
terrible.
Seems like more invested than anybody, and he was angry at that time. Like, you tell me this is what it's going to be this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was premature.
Huh?
It was premature.
It was premature. But you just want to, when your team, the sort of, you know, whatever sport you like, comes out to start a season, and it's not what you thought. He let it carry over there, and he's handled it well. I thought he embraced it yesterday.
Too young.
Party's right.
Too young.
Kind of didn't want to embrace it, but he did. You got to do it. Got to do it. People are going to stop listening now. Woo, don't listen.
617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy standing by. He joins us right after these headlines.